Welcome to A Court of Fairies and Fangirls. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sarah.
And this is a Sarah J. Maas fan podcast where we are obsessed with her books and can't stop thinking about them or talking about them. So we figured, why not record us thinking and talking about it?
We're going to break down chapters, go through each book separately, go into character analysis, and any thoughts or kind of theories that we have about books, characters, plots, etc.
And maybe play some fun games along the way.
Exactly.
So welcome and enjoy.
So I drove to wherever I was going, and it just so happened to be like this adorable little downtown.
It's cute.
And I was just like, oh, let's explore. And they had just this cute little bookstore. So I was like, oh, I want to be that person. I'm just going to like go bookstore shopping. So I just explored, and I really wanted to like find the Book Lovers, but they didn't have it. So I was just like browsing. I was like, I feel like I have to buy a book.
To commemorate the moment.
Exactly. So yeah, it's like a Jane Austen. There's like three of them, I guess, that she's written. Or not Jane Austen, this other author, but they're like murder mysteries, like based on the books. So I haven't started it yet, but
that'll be really interesting.
I haven't read like any of Jane Austen's books. It's on my
list.
No, it's on my list this year to read one.
Oh my God, Sarah, you have to. Oh my God, I can't.
So you can pick one for me to read.
I mean, I feel like we have to start with Pride and Prejudice.
Okay.
I feel like you just have to.
Yeah.
Just because it's.
This is based on Sense and Sensibility, so.
Okay.
Which I haven't read either.
I mean, that one, like, they're all great.
Yeah.
I love them all. But Pride and Prejudice is, like, such a classic.
Yeah.
That, and I know you know, like, the high-level story of it, but.
Yeah, I want to read one. It's been on my list this year.
You need to experience Mr. Darcy more than any of the other ones. Like, that's just what we need. So that is my choice for you. A very easy decision for me.
Yeah.
We'll start there.
But yeah, so I just explored that, and then.
What was the vibe of the store? Was it, like.
I felt like it was kind of like how we wanted our space to be. Oh. Like it was like very like old school brick inside, and
I love it.
Yeah, they just had like cute little areas set up, and it was very cute.
Did they have like a cafe?
They didn't have a cafe in there. No.
Oh, sad.
I know.
Did they have like fun like giftsy type things? Oh.
Yeah. They had like little like candles, and they had some bookmarks, and they had puzzles, which I got like one for my mom.
This reminds me of two books that I've seen recently. So I also not in a fun bookstore, but I went to Barnes & Noble's because I got some. So Richard got me a Barnes & Noble gift card for my birthday.
That's exciting.
But he didn't tell me how much was on it. He was just like, oh, you'll discover when you're there. And I'm like, okay, it's probably like $50.
Yeah.
So I went all around Barnes & Noble's. I, of course, had my big stack of books that I whittled down to three. Mm-hmm. And they were all paperbacks, which was nice. So it was like $40-ish. Mm-hmm. So I felt like the card would cover it, and it did. Mm-hmm. And then I asked the lady, I was like, oh, how much do I have left?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, 160. I was like, what? How much money is on this gift?
You're like, thank you, husband.
I know. I called him. I was like, I'm sorry. What did you do? He's like, oh, shoot. I should have gone with you. I was like, yeah. I was like, you should. I like, my eyes like were like, what?
Yeah.
How much money do I have to spend on Barnes & Noble's? And then my dad also got me a gift card for $50. So yeah. I'm like.
You're rich.
I'm rich. I am Barnes & Noble's rich. So I'm like,
that's exciting.
I'm trying to like pace my, I'm like, don't go buy a bunch of books right now. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Just like, you can, every time you go now though, you can enjoy the experience. And if you want.
You can buy a book.
You can. Mm-hmm. I can do that for at least 10 more visits.
Yes.
Now. So anywho, but one of the books I grabbed is also like a murder mystery.
Yeah.
But like. A sweeter version of a murder. Like, okay. I don't know how to describe, like,
yeah,
but that. Like the same vibe as that, where it's like, it's fun,
yeah.
but it's technically a murder mystery. But this one is like, it's very like cottagey,
okay.
and it's like creatures. Like, there's like a cute little cottage fox on the cover. I can't even remember the name of it, honestly. I just saw it and I read it in the back and I was like, absolutely, yes. But it has that like sweet, like cottagey murder mystery, but like, woodland creatures vibe.
Okay.
I don't know, but it looks adorable. So I'll let you know how that goes. I'll show that to you later. But Aaron also sent me a book that I think you and I will just like love. Maybe I'll buy this for you for your birthday. I don't know. But she sent me this link. It's called My Lady's Choosing.
Okay.
And it's like a choose your own adventure romance novel.
What?
Yes. Like, look at that.
Oh, it didn't.
Oh, did it? Oh, no! Go back! Doesn't that look...
That's adorable.
It looks so cute. It's an interactive romance novel. Apparently there's like Scotsman. There's like all of these things.
It sounds delightful.
Yeah. The reviews are like, this isn't a work of art, but it's really fun. Yeah. So like, because some people were like, oh, this is terrible. And other folks were like, this is a fun book.
Right. It's meant to be like...
just an enjoyable experience.
It's a chick lit kind of thing.
Exactly. So I'm like, I'm kind of...
That's exciting.
So I haven't bought this one, but she sent it to me and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like an interactive...
I can get behind
choose
that.
Choose your own adventure romance novel?
Yes, please.
I just think that would be really... I also was thinking maybe the next time we do... a readathon.
Mm-hmm.
How fun this would be, since that we would be all so be cool. on our own adventures, and we can like,
I love that,
talk about the adventure we went on and see if anyone had like shared experiences. I don't know. This feels like
that's a perfect readathon book,
right?
Yes.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back for finale week.
Finale week. This is our last episode.
Yeah.
Hence finale week.
So episode 16.
Chapters 75 through 82, all the way to the end.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. What a roller coaster it's been.
It's crazy to think that this started out with Farrah going back to the Spring Court, and now it's like everyone's working together to destroy Highburn in the end. It's just...
so much happens in this book.
I know.
From start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
It's like crazy.
Yep.
Because the mini we record this week is like our top five favorite moments from this book.
Yeah.
And so when I was like flipping back through it, I was like, oh my gosh, so much happened. Like, I know. The diversity of...
It was like, how do I pick when all this stuff happened?
I had
a
really hard time picking, but we'll get to that in the mini-sode this week.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of good things, lots of chapters to discuss this week.
Yep.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, chapter 75.
Yep.
Amryn's secret plot is revealed.
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
I was just, Amryn, oh my gosh. Like, thank goodness she didn't actually betray Farrah and all of Prithian.
Yeah.
I was so grateful for that. But,
yes.
Like, she's planning on sacrificing herself. I'm just like, what is with everyone wanting complete, total self-sacrificing? Like, I get, you know.
We're all heroes.
We're all heroes, yes. But we can, you know, help out a little bit. Like, oh, maybe I'm not going to get myself this and I'll give you money for that. Like, that's self-sacrificing. No, these people want to, like, completely destroy their lives. Like, give their entire life.
Yep.
It's very dramatic.
It is very dramatic. That is true.
Yeah.
Well, where we left off last week was Elaine had just stabbed the King of Highburn in the neck.
Right.
So at first, we get to see the most immediate aftermath of that, which Elaine kind of like steps away as soon as she makes that first blow.
Yep.
Nesta, though.
Ooh.
Nesta is like relishing in this and is like very slowly decapitating the king.
At first I was trying to understand, it's like because she's like twisting the blade like through his like muscles and tendons and all that, and I was like, what is she doing? But then she decapitates him. I was like, oh, okay. So, and Farrah says, in Nesta's eyes it was the same look, the same gleam that she'd had that day in Highburn when she pointed her finger at him in a death promise. She smiled a little as if she remembered it too. And then the king's head falls off.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
And like another person who's like inappropriately smiling right now is Cassian.
Yes.
Like, Cassian is just watching her and it says that he is smiling grimly. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we all are very much enjoying, which I get it. As someone who is very vengeful, I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, we are enjoying this moment.
Yeah. and then Nesta like picks up his head and it says she did not smile. She only stared and stared and stared. Savage, unyielding, brutal.
Brutal.
Yes. I feel like it's a brutal move to like decapitate someone.
Yes. but it's crazy to think that it's like Nesta and Elaine.
Yeah.
They are the ones who did this.
Of all the people.
Of all the people. All the warriors. All the people with fancy powers. They're the ones who killed Highburn.
Just good old-fashioned stab through the neck.
I love it.
Yes.
I mean, he just, like, broke the weaver's neck, so, like...
Yeah.
We don't have to get complicated with killing people. So the cauldron's kind of like, oh, that's scary. And so we're, like, moving back towards the cauldron.
Right.
Like, physical location. But we're getting to see everything as we travel. One thing I noticed, Bryaxis is like low-key just defending the humans.
Yeah.
I'm like, Bryaxis.
I know. And I thought it was really interesting, the cauldron, because we kind of hear what the cauldron's thinking.
Oh, yeah.
It says that Elaine had defended this thief. Elaine, who it had gifted with such powers, found her so lovely it had wanted to give her something. It would not harm Elaine, even in its hunt to reclaim what it had been taken.
Mm.
I was like, the cauldron wanted to gift Elaine powers?
Yeah.
How interesting.
That's really interesting. So, something about her heart.
I know. I thought Precious. That was sweet. And it would not harm Elaine.
Yeah.
So interesting.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We see a lot of things on the journey back to the physical cauldron. We see Jurian
mm-hmm.
fighting Draken and Meriem.
I was like, are you?
Or Draken and Meriem fighting them.
Freaking kidding me. Like, seriously.
You're on the same side.
Draken and Meriem. Like, okay. Handle this after Highburn's troops have been, like, stopped. Like you're in the middle of a war. You came to help your friends and you choose now to strike vengeance on this person. Like, really? He might just be killed by somebody else. Like, just let it be. Like, go fight for your team.
Nope.
I was like, really?
Yeah. I was like, this is not the time.
I was pissed about that. I was like, this is ridiculous.
I definitely thought so.
But it's weird because it's like nobody realizes Highburn's been killed. Like in my head, it's kind of one of those movie moments where it's like, the king's been killed. He's decapitated.
Raise the head.
Right, raise the head. And everybody's like stopping and staring as this happens.
Yeah.
And would just like bow to their knees, kind of like surrender.
Yeah.
But it's like nobody even knows that Highburn's dead.
Or they don't care. Like that's the other thing they kind of mentioned is like, are they just so like spurred on by this cause that it's not even about Highburn anymore. It's about this idea that they deserve this in the end.
Yeah.
Which is also scary.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of crazy.
Yeah. And then let's see. We have the High Lords fighting. They're all apparently in their beast forms, which I'm like, just give us the descriptions of all the beast forms.
And Rhys is faltering.
No!
I was like, oh my gosh, no!
Not him.
Oh, he needs Vera's help.
He does. But she's stuck with the stupid cauldron,
mm-hmm.
gets back, and now she's back with Amrhen.
Yep.
And obviously she's like, tells Amrhen the king is dead, and she's like, and you will be too soon, bitch.
I know. And Amrhen tells her, I know, and I need your help to do it. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, you're like, no, I'm threatening you. You're right. Not. but then we get Amrhen's secret. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the message from the Suriel wasn't about, you know, how to unleash the cauldron on Highburn's armies.
Right.
It was about how to unleash her.
Yeah.
Out of this, like, body she was trapped in.
It's like an unbinding spell.
So Amrhen is going to sacrifice herself.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So she tells Feyre that when she unbinds herself, she's going to basically be able to destroy every single creature like that Highburn has out there.
How powerful are you?
I don't know. Like that's a lot of power.
That's a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course Varian shows up.
I was like, where'd you come from? How'd you know she was here?
I know.
And he just says, don't.
And she says, like a hound on a scent. Stop it.
Poor Varian.
I love them so much.
So Amrhen kind of goes into, she's kind of talking to Varian and Feyre a little mm-hmm. bit. She says, I watched them for so many eons, humans in my world. There were humans too. And I watched them love and hate, wage senseless war and find precious peace. Watch them build lives, build worlds. I was never allowed such things. I had not been designed that way, had not been ordered to do so. So I watched. And that day I came here, it was the first selfish thing I had done. For a long, long while, I thought it was my punishment for disobeying my father's orders, for wanting. I thought this world was some hell he'd locked me into for disobedience. But I wonder if my father knew, if he saw how I watched them love and hate and build and opened that rip in the world, not as punishment, but as a gift. For it has been a gift. This time with you, with all of you, it has been a gift. And she says, tell the High Lord to leave out a cup for me. I love that she, you know, you go in thinking certain things are punishment and it's like you go full circle and kind of realize it's all been a gift. And it's just so sweet. And especially for Amrhen of all people, because we know she's not the feelsy and like everybody else, but for her to just feel like her time with everybody's been such a gift.
Yeah.
Like Amrhen.
It's literally the sweetest.
Oh.
And then she says, like, specifically to Varian regarding love, like, I think I might have learned with you, though. Perhaps that was a last gift, too.
Yeah.
These two.
I know. And then there's no, like, preamble. She just leaps into the cauldron. I was like, whoa.
Yep.
All right. That's goodbye.
She's like, we're going. And so very much like an interesting moment where, so she's in this black mass of the cauldron, mm-hmm. and then it says, it started far, far beneath us, as if she had gone to the earth's core. And I'm like, what is about to happen? What is Aaron's full form?
I don't know. And so, like, Farrah's doing slash feeling slash thinking the spell. Like, it's, like, everything, like, consuming her. We're embodying it. Yep. And then she loses hold of the cauldron.
Yep. And the cauldron shatters into pieces. Mm-hmm. And then it says, she came. She exploded from that mortal shell, light binding us, light and fire. She was roaring in victory and rage and pain. And I could have sworn I saw great burning wings, each feather a simmering ember spread wide. Could have sworn a crown of incandescent light floated just above her flaming hair. I'm like, this is epic.
Yeah.
Epic.
And Amryn paused. The thing that was inside Amryn paused, looked at us at the battlefield and all of our friends, our family still fighting in it, as if to say, I remember you. Mm. Yay! Because that was like the fear. It was like if Amryn ever chose to like leave or unbind herself, that she wouldn't know.
Friend from foe.
Right. Ugh. So she does. She remembers them.
It makes me so happy.
And then she destroys everything, like everything, all of Highburn's army, like, and she's like fading away as she does it, but she goes out to the ocean, like where all the ships are, and she makes like
literally just wipes them all out,
all of them. It's crazy. Epic. Yes,
the epic. Power.
I know, we just were like, not expecting this monster
just like that. Goodbye.
Oh, so good.
It's amazing. Okay, chapter 76 is Rhys and Feyre remake the cauldron.
I just said Rhys, like, sob, like, sob, sob, sob. Rhys.
I know. So, Feyre had just, not Feyre, sorry. So, Amryn had just disappeared. She is now just, like, light dancing, essentially, on the water. And we kind of pivot back to Feyre and Varian. Mm-hmm. And the cauldron had shattered into three pieces.
Yeah.
But it's not like the cauldron's just, like, done.
No.
There's this, like, black, oozing nothingness that is going to start consuming the world. So it's like, oh, we just have one problem after the other.
Yeah.
Like, of course.
But I love how this chapter starts. It says, tears slid down Varian's blood-flecked skin as we watched that spot on the sea where Amryn had vanished. And I just, that's just, I don't know.
It's
just
precious.
It is precious. Just poor Varian.
I know. There, you know, we joke, like, how, like, people are like one of a kind, but like truly Amryn is one of a kind.
Yes.
So it's sad. It's sad that she's gone. But so we pivot to this cauldron, the void. Mm-hmm. Rhys shows up and they're kind of trying to think about like, what do we do? How do we fix this? Mm-hmm. And Rhys is kind of encouraging her like, well, we can try. Like, you did this spell with Amryn. Like, just try to think those same thoughts and embody that same thing. And you and I together are strong and we can do this together.
Well, it's funny. Before he kind of pushes her that way, Feyre, like, goes to the book. She picks up the book and she's, like, trying to read it as if, like, magically she's learned how to read this. And she realizes, no, only Amryn can read this.
Yeah.
So she chucks the book into the cauldron. And Rhys says, well, that's one way to try it. And I very much appreciate it in that moment. Just the slight humor. It's like, really? Just, did that make it better? And make you feel better just chucking the book into the cauldron?
I mean, it was useless at that point.
I guess, yeah. But it just made me laugh. But then, Rhys is like, Feyre is basically a conduit. Yep. So he, like, convinces her that he can use his power, or she can use his power through her to kind of weld the cauldron back together.
Yes. So.
But I'm like, your power was sputtering out on the battlefield. Like, you were not doing well. How are you going to have enough power to remake the cauldron?
Nobody has enough power right now. That's the horrible part.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Maybe like if this was just a one-off day where there was no war and you were at the height of your power, maybe.
But let's get all seven High Lords in here.
Right. Hold hands kind of thing. And like conduit Feyre. But no, I was like, do you really think you can remake this thing?
I mean, he thinks so. And one thing I did notice though, which was an automatic red flag to me.
Yeah.
Is that his shields were still up.
Right. I was like, why? I was like, why, you're letting Feyre in.
Why?
You always let Farrah in. Why do you have shields up against your lovely white Maeve person?
Yeah. Yeah. Immediately I was like, red flag. Yeah. Red flag. I don't like this. This is not, no, no. So, but they give it a try. They, they're doing it. Farrah's channeling this power.
She says it flowed and flowed, a burst dam of night. And I just like that, like visual image. Like I just picture like this dam exploding and just like this blackness almost
but like sparkling blackness.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a really cool, like mental image.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And then Farrah says, I was not afraid, not with him there. I love these two. They are my OTP. I love them so much.
So they're holding hands as she's like channeling his power and he thinks, I love you. I was like, why is he telling her I love you right now?
I don't know. And I don't like
it. I did not like this.
I don't like it. And he does it a second time also.
I'm like, this is goodbye. Like to me, like, I don't think like, oh, this is sweet. He's like encouraging her. No, yeah. Like to me, this is like a goodbye. I love you. It's not.
It very much had those vibes.
Mm-hmm.
So they managed to heal the three cracks in the cauldron. Farrah felt his power begin to sputter, but she threw in her power too just to like get them over the like finish line.
Well, it makes me mad because it's like he's throwing all of his power into this. They get through the first like weld, and then the second weld, and then she like starts to feel his power kind of sputtering as they're doing the third. Yeah. So that's when she like throws her power in. I was like, you didn't want to like help along the way earlier. The whole time?
A little bit earlier.
I don't know. Just my thought.
I don't know. Maybe she did, but maybe it was like this was like an extra push for her too. Maybe. I don't know. But the cauldron's fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It is whole. But at this point, so she goes, we had done it. We had done. I turned. It took me a moment to grasp it, what I saw. Reese was sprawled on the rocky ground, wings draped behind him. He looked like he was sleeping, but as I breathed in, it wasn't there. That thing that rose and fell with each breath, that echoed each heartbeat, the mating bond. It wasn't there. It was gone because his own chest, it was not moving, and Reese was dead.
No! What?
Anger. Just anger.
I'm like, Farrah, if you had like helped out maybe a little more, Reese wouldn't be dead. I don't know.
Or if we like paused for 5 freaking seconds and like brought Helion over or brought the like.
Right. You didn't have to do this by yourself.
I like don't like.
Why? No. And I'm like, Reese cannot be dead.
It makes me so mad.
No. Like this book is not worth reading without Reese.
Honestly, let's
be real.
Let's be real. If, like, we know what happens in these next few chapters.
Right. We've all done the reading.
We've done the reading for this week. But if the book had ended here,
yeah.
I don't know if I would recommend this series to people.
No.
I think I would have just been, like, so mad about having gone through such a beautiful journey.
Yeah.
For it to end like this. I would be like, fuck you. Fuck you. Like, no. No. SJM would be dead to me.
And it's like, I get if she had done that as, like, oh, this is Farrah finding herself. She became High Lady.
That's
like,
not she's what it is, though.
No. I would have been so mad because I don't really care about Farrah. Let's be real. Like, Farrah's fine.
We do.
We care about her journey.
But. This book is a love story.
Right.
Like, when I talk about, like, SJM books to folks and, like, which series to start first or like kind of giving them that high level. Yeah. I'll always tell them that like Throne of Glass is a incredible like hero arc journey.
Yeah.
Whereas ACOTAR is, it has that, but it's more based in like the love and relationship story. Like that's what this book is based about.
Right.
The love and relationship story.
Yeah.
You take that away? What is the point of this anymore?
No.
Anyway, maybe that's a controversial opinion.
No, and I don't think so. Because you ask people, like, who do you love in this book? People will be huge Nesta fans. People love Nesta. Yep. People love Reese. People love Az and Cassian. Does anyone ever say, oh, I love Farrah? I've never heard a single person say, I love Farrah.
Yes.
Farrah's fine.
I like Farrah.
I like the adventure that we go on with her.
Yeah.
I don't love Farrah. Nobody loves Farrah.
Yeah.
So if, like, she was the sole survivor of this, no. I don't think people would like this.
Yeah. I don't think so. And, like, I'm all for, like, I've read George R. R. Martin. Like, I have no problem with characters dying. Like, I do think sometimes characters dying is, like, important to the story.
It is.
But, like, this would have just been senseless.
Yes.
Like, no purpose. I would have been so mad. Anyway, okay. But, luckily, we have chapter 77.
Thank God.
to help us get through this. So summary for chapter 77 is the High Lords band together once more to save a hero of Perithian.
Yes.
Just, what are your thoughts?
Like, thank God Rhys comes back to life in this chapter. Yep. But Tamlin. I am just, like, what emotion is he thinking as he's healing? Or giving, like, you know, his ember for Rhys? I don't know. And then. And then Amron's alive. Like, what? This was such a good chapter.
Yeah, honestly, like I said, if this chapter did not exist, this book would be dead to me.
Yes.
But I thought Tamlin's whole, like, arc in this was weirdly, like, a non-Gryffindor moment of his. Because I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you're not super spiteful, but Gryffindors definitely have, like, a pride issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have thought Tamlin's pride would have, like, stopped him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. So, growth.
I know. It was very surprising.
Very surprising. Okay, so, but at the beginning of this chapter, Rhys is gone.
I love the whole first page of this chapter. Just her thought process and just, like, how, kind of just, like, so it starts, it says, I had only silence in my head, only silence. And as I began screaming, the emptiness in my chest, my soul, at the lack of that bond, that life, I was shaking him, screaming his name and shaking him, and my body stopped being my body and just became this thing that held me and this lack of him, and I could not stop screaming and screaming. Then Mor was there, and Azriel swaying on his feet, an arm hooked around Cassian, just as bloody and barely standing thanks to the blue web siphon patches all over him, over them both. They were saying things, but all I could hear was that last I love you, which had not been a declaration, but a goodbye. And he had known. He had known he had nothing left, and stopping it would take everything. It would cost him everything. He'd kept his shields up so I wouldn't see, because I wouldn't have said yes. I would have rather the world ended than this. This thing he had done, and this emptiness where he was, where we were. Someone was trying to haul me away from him, and I let out a sound that might have been a snarl or another scream, and they let go. I just, like...
It's devastating.
It's devastating. And it's like, I've never, like, I've lost people close to me, but it's never been my person.
Yeah.
So I just can't even, and in one of those ways where it was like a tragic, like, surprise moment kind of thing. So I can't imagine just the grief and the, it's like your world, like, has shifted so quickly and you have no idea, like, how to process.
Yeah.
So
I've been having, like, crazy pregnancy dreams recently that are just, like, very intense all the time. And as I was reading this last night in preparation, I, like, mentally was like, don't you dare have a nightmare about your husband dying.
Yeah.
Like, no, brain. Because it's like, I was reading that and I just,
you truly feel the grief in this. And it's like that is, like, an appropriate reaction that I feel like every person would share if that kind of experience. Like, even if it was, like, a car accident where it's, like, you survive and they've passed, but just, like, that shaking their body and, like, not feeling that they're there, but feeling, like, their absence. It's just, like, I think SJM does, like, such a phenomenal job of describing, like, what grief feels like in that moment. And I just really wanted to, like, give a shout out to that.
No, I totally agree. And I think you see that through the rest of this book and, like, foreshadowing with, like, Frost and Starlight and Silver Flames to come. Like, she has such, like, this amazing knack of describing, like, very human emotions and, like, beyond just saying, like, she was devastated, like, no, like, she really showed us devastation, and I agree, I deeply, deeply appreciate it.
And she's, like, reflecting on the Suril had said stay with the High Lord and live to see everything righted, but it was like the emphasis was on like, not the fact that, like, he would live, but she needed to stay with him so that everything would be righted and she would live. And I'm just like, no, Suriel, like, you're so sneaky in those words.
I know. It's terrible. Yeah. And the other High Lords have arrived at this point. And, like, Thesian was checking. Helion is like, of course he did. Like, they're also in shock about it.
Right.
And, like, Tarquin is trying to, like, console her a little bit. And she has this just, like, moment where she's like, bring him back.
No, you say that very calmly. Well, she is screaming.
The first one one. And then she shifts to screaming.
Yes.
Bring him back.
Yeah.
I just, like.
I know.
I was, oh, it just was so intense.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you did it for me, now do it for him. And Helion's like, you were human. It's not the same. She goes, I don't care. do it. And she was like ready to fight them.
I know.
And I loved this energy from Feyre. And I'm not saying I was like full on shocked, but I was surprised how quickly like Tarquin was like, okay,
yeah,
let's go. And Tarquin is the first one to step up. Tarquin, who like has low-key hated them
right
this entire book.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, for what he gave today and for many years before.
So it's just like recognizing like Rhys is a good person. And he is. Tarquin knows what he's done.
Yeah.
So I love that. And then Helion does it, Callias, Thesan, and Baron after Mor threatens him, which
I love Mor in that moment. I mean, Baron like only like, I don't even know if Baron fully hesitated. I think Mor was just like, I will kill you.
Yeah. I love the threat she feels like she needs to throw in there.
Yeah. But no, he does the same thing. Feyre does it also. They kind of like coach her through that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we're missing one High Lord.
Tamlin. And it's kind of like he just appears there as if like she doesn't really know how he knows to come.
Yeah, I also wonder if he's actually just been there this whole time, but she just didn't even
I feel notice. Like that's definitely possible.
Yeah. So he's like studying Rhys and Feyre just starts begging him.
Yeah. She says, please, please, I will give you anything. And she says something shifted in his eyes at that, but not kindness, no emotion at all. Tamlin stood there staring down at me, those green eyes swimming with some emotion I couldn't place. Be happy, Feyre, he said quietly and dropped that final kernel of light onto Rhysand. Tamlin.
That was sweet.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
Well, it's like the fact that he did it
mm-hmm.
was sweet.
Yeah.
The like notion of, I almost feel like he's had this emotional journey himself of letting go of Feyre and realizing that they weren't meant to be together.
Yeah.
And so it almost feels like we're hitting that like emotional full circle. And he's like,
right.
I just want you to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause like how many times, I mean, you and I don't have, like, that many exes. But, like, but like the idea of, like, immediately after breaking up, you hate them. You hate their guts. They're dead to you.
Yep.
You want them to suffer. And then it just gets to a point where you're like, no. Like, it was for the best. You just be happy.
Yeah, you're at, like, peace with the decision.
I wish you well. Like, it's nice seeing Tamlin having hit that for himself.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully there's some peace he's getting within himself from here on out. He'll be able to heal a little bit.
I hope so. I'm just curious, like, what she saw in his eyes.
The lack of emotion is weird.
Yeah.
Like, you would think maybe it was pity.
Yeah.
Or sadness.
Something.
Or hatred. Something.
Yeah.
What's going on in that mind of his?
I don't know, but I want to know.
Yep. And so Feyre is back on her kind of, like, stay chanting.
Yep.
And then she goes, in the silence, I began to tell him about that first night I'd seen him, when I'd heard that voice beckoning me to the hills, when I couldn't resist its summons, and now I wondered if I had heard him calling for me on Callan Mai, if it had been his voice that brought me there that night. Which, just like, pause.
I know. So I'm like, how do we not
the very beginning.
I know. I was like, how do we not talk about this in chapter 55 or 54? Like,
I feel like we might have, like, very, like, I think maybe we pondered it.
Maybe.
But
like, why didn't she say that?
Why didn't he say that? And then she goes, I told him how I had fallen in love with him, every glance and past note and croak of laughter he coaxed from me. I told him of everything we'd done and what it had meant to me and all that I still wanted to do, all the life still left before us. And in return, a thud sounded.
His heart. It begins to beat again. Oh, he's alive. Thank God.
Thank goodness.
Rhys is alive. And he tells them, someone fish out dear Amryn before she catches a cold.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? Amryn's alive?
Amryn's alive too.
Oh my gosh.
So apparently where did it go? So he tells them that she was there when the cauldron was sealing, going wherever we go. So I reached out a hand to see if she might want to come back.
She took it. She took it. I love that. And like, she chose to come back, like, knowing that she would just be High Fae, like, no more powers, just a normal life.
Normal life.
Which is crazy.
Oh, it's amazing. And then this chapter ends, and it's just like so precious. She goes, and as Amryn smiled at me, I wondered if that had been her last gift, if it all had been a gift.
It is.
It's all a gift.
I know. I love how that chapter ends.
It's so sweet.
Yes.
Okay, but let's talk real quick about this whole, like, Rhys dying thing, because I have, like, on a... It's, like... I think character deaths should have important movement in the story.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that we're able to kind of like, with Reese's death here, kind of have like a full circle moment with Tamlin. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I see a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But like to kill Reese one chapter and just bring him back to life casually the next. Right. In this way, I'm like, what's stopping the High Lords from saving themselves every single time something like this happens? That's kind of what
I was wondering. I was like, it feels like there's not...
There are like laws of like existence in the universe, right? Like balance.
It was super cool like in ACOTAR when they brought Pharaoh back because like she was this human and by giving her these kernels of their power, like she became High Fae and was remade.
Yes, which is different.
Right.
Than just this.
Right. And like Helion even says this is different. Like yes. It's not the same thing. And so I just find it not.
It felt a little bit of a cop out.
A little cop out. Like not poor writing, but just no. Like I thought if you were going to bring him back, like there should have been another way to do it. It shouldn't be the exact same way. Like, it shouldn't be everybody gives a kernel of power. Like, maybe she has to go on some crazy adventure where she has to find this item that, like, is similar to the cauldron-ish.
Maybe.
And it's, like, by finding this, like, she can... It has this power. Or
they used the cauldron to do it. Right. Because the cauldron's now healed.
Just something. I just felt like...
Yeah.
The... Not... Yeah, cop out or...
A little bit.
A little bit. Like, doing the same thing. And I just don't understand how... It works when Helion's saying, like, it's different.
Well, and even and Reese then, admits, like, he still has his own powers. He doesn't have any of theirs.
Right.
And I'm just like, but, like...
I know. I just think that should be something different. I do like that it's, like, it brought Tamlin full circle, but yes. I felt like there should have been another way to do it.
Yeah. I agree. So, like, the idea of Reese coming back to life, obviously I am very pro that.
Right.
But, yeah, this, how it was done, like, annoyed me ever so slightly.
Yeah.
I was like...
And maybe it's just not the next chapter. Like, if you wanted...
Should have maybe, like, two or three chapters
I just feel like you don't get the full impact of him being dead. It's almost just, like, this... Not afterthought's the wrong word, but it's, like...
Kind of, though.
Kind of. It's just, like, oh, he's dead.
Let me throw in one more emotional, like, hurt
right.
for you.
Because it's, like, I love when... I don't love. But I love how it's written when he dies. Like, that he gave everything. And I love, like, as I was saying, the grief that, like, you truly feel that. And it's, like, I feel like you almost don't even get to... enjoy and sit in that feeling of grief because it's just so quickly like, oh, okay, he's just brought back to life, like happy endings and I don't like that expected happy ending. Like, I don't want it to feel like you always get the happy ending. So it's like, maybe if we had to suffer a little in the grief it would have felt more fulfilling getting Reese back.
Exactly.
So that is my one, like,
it felt a little off. No, like, major complaints.
No.
But a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit.
I'm glad you felt that way, because I read it and I was like, is it weird to feel like I want him dead or to stay dead? Just even for a little
just
bit
just for long. Like two more chapters.
Yeah. Or just or like for the book to have ended that way.
You know? And it's like, maybe that's the next book.
Right. And that gives like Feyre time to like be High Lady on her own and kind of like do this thing. I don't know. Just I felt like there was a lot of opportunity missed with how it was done.
Yeah. And like, I know this is, like, not something fully explored in this book, but the idea of, like, balance in a universe, like, between life and death.
Right.
I feel like something was broken here.
Right, because they make such a big deal about there being a balance, like, made and unmade, and like calls to like, and I just feel like it does. It doesn't seem balanced by him being able to come back so easily.
Yeah, like, part of me, and maybe I'm just reading, like, too many, like, Hades and Persephone books right now, but, like, part of me is like, no, like, if he comes back to life, someone else has to die.
Right.
Right?
Of like, important significance, too.
It like, there's just... there's a balance there, but maybe that's just not true for this world, but it definitely hung me up slightly.
Yeah.
All right, though. Next chapter, chapter 78. I put the Archeron sisters say goodbye to their father. Oh, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, so first off, Lucien is back. Yay. That makes me super happy. But it's just like a quick and quiet burial for Pharaoh's father. And I'm kind of surprised that none of them really have anything to say. Like, I know Pharaoh does her like blessing or whatever, but it's not, I don't know. There's no like eulogy. Like, nobody speaks up about like, I know he was a crappy dad in the past, but like, I'm amazed like at how much he's grown and like did this for us. Like, kind of just, I don't know, something.
But maybe it's like one of those things where like the emotions are so intense. Like, because he went from like 0 to 100.
Right.
You know, like we did not get to witness, and the sisters did not get to witness his like journey.
Right.
Into becoming stronger and showing his love for his daughters. And we just like saw him as kind of a like low-key failure as a dad, right. not super towards the end, but like yeah. low-key to hero yeah. practically. Mm-hmm. They missed that whole journey. So I'm right. sure they're like overwhelmed by like,
yeah, all the emotion,
all that. The emotions and what has happened. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they go there and I think it's interesting that the king of Highburn's corpse is like just still Jade chilling there. I don't know why, but I was like,
I feel like something, like somebody would have claimed it or like something.
yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel like we should have like taken that away.
Something.
But I don't know.
Yeah. So Farrah goes over to join like Nesta and Elaine so they can all say goodbye, bury their father. Yeah. And I like that it's just going to be the three of them.
Yeah. I think it's important. Mm-hmm. And Elaine kind of like washes his face, straightens him up, finds flowers, which mm-hmm. I think is really sweet. And Elaine does say like, I love you, which.
I know.
It's sweet.
And Nessa's just kind of like, she's just standing and staring, like doesn't say yeah. anything. She's just, I think, in shock.
I mean, that moment was shocking.
Yes.
Shocking.
I know.
Which on a side note, we got a message on Instagram mm-hmm. from a girl who is like, she's reading the earlier chapters of the book where, you know, their dad comes yeah. and dies. And she's like, I'm crying and my husband does not understand why. And she's like sobbing and I'm like, we feel you.
We feel it.
We feel it. But like, it just keeps going. Like yeah. this story is just so heartbreaking. Like I wish they had just had more time together. And I think that's what Nesta is feeling.
Yeah. And I love that Farrah recites the words that she heard under the mountain.
It's so full circle.
It's so full circle. It's like you killed these fairies and this was kind of like their parting piece. And yeah. now you're like offering that same piece to your dad. And so I just, sweet. I really love that she did that.
Yeah. And I just love this prayer too.
I know.
So it says, Mother hold you. May you pass through the gates. May you smell that immortal land of milk and honey. Fear no evil. Feel no pain. May you enter eternity. Just like, I know. It's just beautiful.
It is.
And then Farrah uses her firepower to cremate him, basically, and the yeah. ash just starts
yeah.
blowing away, sadly.
Yeah.
Poor guy. Poor family. But then they get a surprise visitor.
I know, Lucien. He's back.
He's okay.
I know. He asks Elaine if she's okay, and she asks, like, if he is okay as well.
Which they're interacting, like, relatively nicely together.
Mm-hmm. And he, like, offers his apologies for their loss. Yeah. Which is crazy because it's, like, I feel like Lucien almost knows their dad better than they do.
And that's part of what I'm saying is, like, I feel like – because later on in these chapters, like, Vasa's also talking. And I'm just, yeah. like – I could imagine there being almost, like, a jealousy there. Of
for
like,
sure.
You got to experience this – the best parts of my dad.
Right. And I never got that.
And I didn't.
Yeah.
Ugh. Just breaks my heart ever so slightly.
Yeah. So Farrah is trying to keep it easy kind of between her, Lucien, and Elaine. So mm-hmm. she kind of like steps in and she's asking like where he's going to go. And he says, who knows? Obviously, he just basically wants to stay with Elaine. Mm-hmm. But Farrah nudges Elaine, which I thought was interesting. And she says he should come back to Velaris with them.
Yeah.
Which I think there's obviously some shock there, but he says it would be a pleasure. So I was like, okay, Elaine. Like,
yeah.
I like this.
It's a little bit of growth yes. there, or like maybe openness,
yeah, just kind of seeing what's out there.
Yeah.
And then Farrah kind of just goes back to her tent to find Rhys there along with Miriam and Drakon,
which we need to discuss why they were fighting Jurien.
Yeah, but that's next chapter.
But that's next chapter. Chapter 79. Mm-hmm. I put Farrah gets to chat with Drakon and Miriam before calling a meeting with all people of Prithian to discuss a new treaty.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts?
So I know there's like chapters kind of focus on like the Miriam, Drake and whatnot, but I kind of just blew past that. It really didn't have an impact for me. I really yeah. like for me, this chapter, I really felt bad for Tamlin and Aerys yeah. in this chapter. And I know like there was such a small interaction and it shouldn't be that big a deal, but Lucien, like his response to both of them, it's just like, it's so heartbreaking to yeah. see both of them, how they react to him.
It definitely was sad.
So I know that's a little bit further on in the chapter.
No, but like, I agree. Like, I kind of blew past the Miriam and Drakon thing a yeah. little bit. I didn't really care as much.
I thought I'd be very, like, invested and, like, wanting to know all about their story and all this stuff. I kind of just, like, I didn't care. Especially because they chose to fight Jurien. I think that's why. I think why I'm so pissed at them. Like, I'm like, I don't care. Why are you here?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you're like, choosing thanks. To fight the good side, like, come on.
Yeah.
So Farrah asks them if they killed Jurien.
Yeah.
And Miriam advises that Mor convinced them not to quote unquote settle things. I was like, really? Like,
it just, get over it.
So annoying.
Yeah.
So, but I'm thankfully Moore, you know, stepped in and was able to save Jurian.
I'm glad that she did that. Because, I mean, I think there was those earlier moments with Jurian and Moore where he was like, we were friends. Like, you didn't think I would, you know, be okay and be good. So I'm glad Moore was almost able to apologize in that way also by helping protect him.
But I do love that they find out that, like, Nefeli was there to fight. And I was like, that made me excited because I really love that whole Nefeli philosophy that they live by.
We're, like, fangirling her over her a little bit. Yeah. We're like, oh, let's see her. Okay, so one thing that comes out of this conversation with Meriem and Draken is what we're going to do with the cauldron.
Yeah.
So their island is still secret, so it's a good place to hide that.
Yeah.
So when this is all over, the cauldron's just going to casually disappear. Maybe be on their island. Who knows?
Yeah, which is, like, obviously smart to try to get rid of the cauldron before all High Lords start wanting claim to it.
Exactly.
But I was also like, why is it your right to be able to dictate where the cauldron goes?
Because they're the ones who saved the day, so.
Yes, but also, like, why are you trying to hide it from everybody?
Yeah.
And, like, what, honestly, like, why are Meriem and Draken kind of
trusted
above all the other High Lords that actually fought this whole time for it? So I just feel like it should be one of those things where it's like, you should put it in the middle where everybody knows where it is, and it's like all seven High Lords have to, like, seal it in, kind of thing. And it's like, to undo it, like, all seven have to, like, be back to take it out.
Better too.
I just feel like it's not fair that Reese and Feyre get to choose where it goes, and that they choose Meriem and Draken, who have hid themselves for 500 years.
But I think it's because they've hid themselves so well for that long that they're just like, it's better for people to just not know
where it is.
Where it is. Yeah. That this is a thing, and hopefully it can just be forgotten.
And it's like, I understand where they're coming from. But
I
to
also
me,
agree
I'm like,
you.
I don't trust Meriem and Draken when they were over here fighting Jurian when they should have been fighting Qyburn. So I kind of have a hard time with that decision.
I agree. But we kind of wrap up with them. Kind of like talking about leaving, right? Because they're taking the cauldron. And Feyre was like, no, like, I want you here a few days. I'm glad you're not leaving right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to call a meeting. And so we start preparing for this big old meeting, which is very ambitious. But essentially, she finds a place, her family's old estate, which
I know.
Full circle.
I know. It's just crazy to, like, to go back there after everything.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know. It's weird.
Very surreal. And everyone's there. The Fae, the humans, everybody.
Yeah. So they're all filing in, and, like, Aerys walks in, and Lucien dutifully ignored his eldest brother. But as Aerys stood by, I could have sworn there were something like sadness, like regret, as he glanced at Lucien.
Just so sad.
It makes me really sad because it's, I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't think Aerys is as bad as everybody makes him out to be, as Moore makes him out to be. And it's just like, I feel like Aerys, especially knowing that Aerys was the one that told Tamlin, like, way back when, that, you know, Lucien was coming and he, like, needs his help. Like, I just, it makes me sad that Lucien doesn't know that about Aerys. And I just felt bad for him in this moment.
Maybe they'll have, like, a brother, like, healing moment.
Maybe.
In the next few books.
I know.
That would be sweet. And then Tamlin comes in.
Oh, this gets me so bad. I don't know why, but it really breaks my heart for Tamlin.
Yeah.
I think maybe just because of, like, his full circle moment and giving his power to help Reese. Like, it says, Tamlin's attention had gone to the clothes Lucien now wore, the Illyrian leathers. He might as well have been wearing Night Court black. It was an effort to keep my mouth shut, to not explain that Lucien didn't have any other clothes with him and that they weren't a sign of his allegiance. Tamlin just shook his head, loathing simmering in his green eyes, and walked past. Not a word. I looked at Lucien in time to see the guilt, the devastation flicker in that russet eye. That, like,
it's so sad. Like, think back to Akatar, like, how deeply their, like, bro-ness went.
Yeah.
Like, they were such good friends. They were brothers.
Yeah.
And this is what it's come to now.
Just, I don't know. I, like, it breaks my heart
to
see Tamlin so upset and Lucien so upset.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just, it's a mess. And it's, part of it's also, again, like, just, like, pride and miscommunication. Like, if they had sat down and talked about what they're, like, they might have not left each other on such bad terms in this moment, but that's not how nails work.
And it's just like such a powerful reminder. It's like the clothing they wear like has such an impact.
It really does.
I mean, I think back to ACOTAR when Pharaoh was wearing, or not ACOTAR, I guess it was
Mist and Fury,
where she's like wearing the night court clothes.
Here we go.
To when she like winnows back to the Spring Court and Tamlin like freaks out.
Yeah.
She's like, what are you wearing? And it's like similar vibe. It's like the clothes just mean something more.
It really does. Let's see. The humans arrive.
Grayson. I was not expecting first off, how is that guy alive? You know, like
Bryaxis took care of him.
That's true. Yeah, because I was like, all these like humans are going to fight Faye, and Grayson just magically happens to survive. Like, almost like poor Elaine, because
couldn't die.
It would have been nicer if he died for poor Elaine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's there representing the humans, and he shows up with Jurian.
Yeah.
Who is followed by Vasa.
Yep, we got the whole crowd.
I know.
And this is where Vasa has her kind of moment with Feyre, just talking about, you know, her father.
Yeah.
And she says, he was a better father to me than my own. I owe much to him and will honor his memory as long as I live. And it's like, that just stings.
It's got to be like so hard to hear. Yeah. He was never a great father to Feyre and Nesta. Elaine, sure. But like, Feyre and Nesta, no.
No, not at all. And so, and of course, that's like the moment like, Nesta walks in.
Of course.
And I'm just like, read the room, lady.
I know.
Like, say I'm sorry for your loss and just, like, it's not about you and your relationship with him, okay?
For all of, like, what, a month? Like, come on.
Come on. But anyway, so I like the idea of Vasa.
Yeah.
But, like, this exchange didn't leave me, like, excited for future interactions with her.
Well, and especially because it seems like she only came because she knows that Feyre and all the High Lords have, like, powers, and she just wants her curse undone. Like, that's kind of the vibe I'm getting. Like, she doesn't care.
Yeah,
she just wants her curse unbroken.
Well, and I think we forget this, but like, she's a queen.
Yeah,
so like, queens are demanding in that way sometimes. Yeah. So maybe that's the energy we're not liking, because it's not as like cooperative. Mm-hmm. She has that like
queenly energy,
but maybe. Like, I don't know, I just don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
She's fine.
Yeah,
but the Firebird thing is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else? She does mention that she will need to leave soon because of the bargain that their dad had struck with Koshe, who is her captor, basically. Yep. But she thinks she might be able to, like, loophole it a bit and stay for a little bit while they continue to, like, heal and get out of here. Let's see, what else?
Nesta.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So Feyre catches a glimpse of her holding a small wooden carving, and she knows it's one that their dad had done. And I'm just like, stop.
There have to be memories in this house. Like, it has to be hard being there.
But I'm kind of surprised that there was, like, these small wooden carvings, because I think back, it's like, I felt like he made them to try to make money back in ACOTAR.
Yeah.
So it's like, when they made all that money from Tamlin, like, would he have still kept carving, or was,
maybe,
like, did she bring this from, like, the cottage to their house, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But
maybe he kept it as, like, a memento of that time. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's just, like, very sentimental. And Feyre just, like, looks away quickly so that Nesta doesn't know that she's seen it.
And, like, be embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
Because Nesta doesn't know how to deal with her emotions.
Yeah.
But Nesta's just kind of like, I don't need to be here, basically. And Feyre encourages her and is like, no, like, I want you here. Like, I need you with me.
And she's like, you're the one that killed the king. Like, and you're our human emissary. Like, you do need to be here.
Yeah.
And she says she'll stay.
Yep.
So Feyre kind of starts the meeting telling everybody that she wants to renegotiate the treaty.
Which, I mean, this is a great time for it.
Yeah.
But obviously that's quite the undertaking.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. Nothing with the High Lords is ever easy.
Nothing with anything is ever easy.
True.
Like, literally just anything in this realm.
Yeah.
Anywho, we jump to chapter 80.
Mm-hmm.
Summary is, we return home to Valaris.
And they all made it.
They
all made it back. And, like, I didn't actually think this would happen. I never thought all of them. It's kind of surprising, especially if you...
That every single one.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying about the death. Like, I don't have a problem inherently with someone dying as part of the storyline. Yeah. So.
But I also don't like it when everybody survives. You know what I mean?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Like, I mean, I guess like Amryn did lose a huge part of herself.
But like.
I'm trying. I'm trying. Because
it's like, I think of Throne of Glass too, where it's like all of our characters, except one.
Yes.
Basically survive.
Yeah.
And I, that was like too much. Like I felt like we should have lost more. But I just, I don't know. I feel like it's good to lose people.
Yeah.
It kind of progresses the story and it makes characters more valuable when you know that an author is willing to kill them.
Yeah.
So.
But like, I mean, Sarah J. Maas kills people in Crescent City a lot. That's true. So maybe we're like evolving maybe a little bit. I don't know. But listeners, my dad, who is one of the best dads ever, he read Throne of Glass because I loved it so much. And I did not want him reading ACOTAR for obvious reasons. So like we went Throne of Glass, and whether or not you've read the book, there's no major spoilers here. But to your point, Sarah, not a lot of people in the end died.
Yeah.
And that was one of my dad's like biggest complaints about the book. He's like, I'm not saying I wanted people to die, but like,
it's like
we could have done a few more.
I know. It's like it's more, you're more invested like when people die because you know that like you have to value the characters.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see. We've got plenty more books ahead.
I know.
For so people to
die. Could still die.
Yeah, exactly. There's going to be what, like six, seven Something. Books in the series?
Yeah.
Six plus novellas. So there's time. Well, there's time. I know. It's one of those things where it's like, I don't want it, but I want it.
And I know.
Okay. But we're all back in Valaris.
So Feyre kind of tells her whole story to everyone.
Yes.
Followed by.
But that's right, because we're still in the meeting. Sorry.
Right. Yeah, still in the meeting. She tells her whole story to everybody, and then Miriam and Drakon tell their whole story. So they're all just trying to show, like, humans and Fae can basically live in peace kind of thing.
And there's a lot of discord, obviously, right? Like, because everyone, it's hard to compromise. It's hard to find that common ground. But, so, like, the highlight of this is that while there was no clear answer at the end of this first meeting, everybody at least stayed.
Yeah.
Like, people stayed. They had conversation, and they decided they would continue the conversation. So, like, those are all very good signs that we're moving towards a good place.
Yeah. And then Feyre kind of talks to Jurien. I guess this is, like, as everybody's kind of filing out. Mm-hmm. She talks to him, and he says that he's been offered a position in Vasa's court.
Yes.
And then she asks him, do you think we stand a chance of peace between all of us? And he says, yes, I do. And I didn't know why, but it gave me comfort.
Yeah.
And I just really like that. I don't know why. I really like Jurien so much more reading this the second time. Like, he was such a forgotten character to me, but I have such an appreciation for him this go around.
Well, and also, like, think about it. Like, he was around for that first war where the treaty was first created.
Yeah.
So, like, I think if he, who has seen all of this time pass from the human side.
Yeah.
Like, if he thinks that it's possible, then...
It's kind of optimistic.
Yeah. All right. So now we go back to Valaris.
Yay!
Yay! And I love this quote. They all land there, and she says, sunlight still leaked in through the windows of the townhouse. The scent of citrus and the sea and baked bread still filled every room. And distantly, children were still laughing in the streets. Home. Home was the same. Home was untouched.
We're back home.
But also, like, how lucky.
I know. Because not everybody is like that.
No, it's the
like,
human lands are destroyed.
The summer court was destroyed. Yeah. Like, there was multiple... The spring court's still destroyed. There's plenty of places that are not. So it's like, it's kind of always lucky that...
It's a little oasis.
Yeah. So, but I love, like, Amryn. She's complaining that she'll now have to eat real food, which, like, cracks me up. And Elaine, she says, the new Amryn is even crankier than the old one. I was like, Elaine, look at you. It's making so jokes. Like, I love this.
Well, it's just, like, I almost feel like they've been under such immense pressure for so long that it's, like, now that pressure's released and they almost can, like, breathe.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like... I don't know why, like, this moment was, like, so touching. Because it's about Amryn eating food. Like, it's not...
Not a big deal.
Not a big deal. But it just was so touching at the same time. Because I'm like, you just get to be normal for a minute.
I know.
Ugh. Well, I should say most of them. Because Nesta is clearly still going through it, unfortunately. But they all just decide, like, let's open some bottles. Let's have a drink. Let's... Enjoy
I know
this moment. Oh, I love it.
And Farrah thinks that, well, she's kind of like thinking, but we know that she gave Lucien a note to deliver to Tamlin, which I love. And in the note, it just says, thank you. I hope you find happiness too.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think it was necessary that she just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of like.
Let it go.
Just to give it peace. Like, let there be peace between them.
Yeah. I love the way she phrased this. She says, and I did, not just for what he'd done for Reese, but even for an immortal, there was not enough time in life to waste it on hatred, on feeling it and putting it into the world. So I wished him well, I truly did, and hoped that one day perhaps he would face those insidious fears, that destructive rage rotting away inside him. Mm. And I just...
Yeah.
I think it's so true. Again, I know I'm very spiteful and vengeful, so this is something that I have to constantly tell myself, but it's like, life is short. They almost, like, Reese, she almost lost Reese.
Yeah.
Like, they all almost died. Mm-hmm. Like, even though they technically live hundreds of years because they're Fae, mm-hmm. like, life's too short.
Yeah, to, like, hold a grudge like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're a Taurus. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's fine. But yeah, so I just thought it was really moving.
Yeah. And then the only other thing is that Elaine says she wants to start building a garden.
Yeah.
I just love that. She said, after all of this, I think the world needs more gardens.
That's
so sweet, Elaine.
It does. And Nesta just kind of like pieces out. Like, she's not participating in the revelry at all.
Nope.
I think it's interesting. Like, think about towards the beginning of this book,
mm-hmm.
I feel like they've almost, not exactly flipped, but Nesta and Elaine have flipped in a way where Elaine was super reclusive.
Yeah.
And Nesta was unhappy and angry, but she almost was trying, like, because she was trying to help with the war, trying to do these things. She was figuring that out. Whereas I feel like now Nesta is turning into the recluse and Elaine is blossoming. In her way, trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, it seems like hers is going to be more of, like, a positive trying than Nesta's was.
Yeah.
But they've almost switched roles in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know. So we'll see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Chapter 81.
Yep. This one's from Reese's perspective.
Yeah.
And I just put a sweet moment in the kitchen for our own Bat brothers.
Mm, I just love getting to see Reese's point of view.
Yeah.
It's just always delightful.
It is. It's sweet.
Yeah. So he's just having a hard time believing that, like, this is real. Like,
I mean, he died.
I know. and like, they've defeated Highborn's forces.
Yeah.
Like, I think just the whole reality of it, the fact that they're all there, they're all just living.
Because I firmly believe that they were all convinced that they were all going to die.
Yeah. No, for sure.
No one was going to live. If they managed to beat Highborn, great, but none of them would be there to see it.
Yeah.
So. And I think Reese believed that more than anybody, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
So it's shocking for him to see it. And he's having a hard time believing it.
Yeah.
So.
And it's the laugh. He's like, I can hear her laugh.
I love that. He said, I looked ahead towards that laugh, that light, and that vision of the future Farrah had shown me. More beautiful than anything I could have ever wished for. Anything I had wished for on those long ago solitary nights with only the stars for company. A dream still unanswered, but not forever. I just love that.
That's so sweet.
I just love that, like, Farrah's laugh is what just, like, brings him such joy.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
It's the little things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Cassian and Azriel, they know their bro
well.
They find him in the kitchen. They give him a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have this really, like, precious moment together.
I know. It's so sweet.
Where Azriel is like, it's real.
Yeah. Because they see him, like, breaking down, basically. Yeah.
And I love Reese's comment. He goes, let's not do this again for another 500 years.
Yeah.
And it's just like, because oddly enough, like, that was the last time this happened. So, like, let's give it a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah.
But it says, Azriel cracked a smile as Cassian lifted a brow. And what are we going to do until then?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. And Reese goes, until then, we enjoy every heartbeat of it.
Yes.
Stop.
Every heartbeat, guys.
Stop. Just all the feels.
I know.
It's not, like, it's two pages, but it's just...
Sweet.
It is sweet.
Reese's point of view, man. It's the best.
It is. Okay.
Last chapter.
Last chapter!
Okay.
Okay, chapter 82. I put, Reese and Feyre begin life anew together, relishing in the peace surrounding them.
It's just, like, so sweet. I love this ending. It was so good.
I like it when... sometimes it's cheesy, but I just like it when a book just wraps up nicely. Like, yeah. You don't have to leave me on a cliffhanger assuming that everybody's happy now. Right. Because she could have done that like 3 chapters ago. But I'm like, thank you for the wrap up, Sarah.
I know.
What are your first thoughts?
So we start and Farrah is rocking some like red lacy undergarments.
I love it.
For Reese. And I love that so much.
Definitely made me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have like a really funny conversation where he's like, hasn't anyone told you you're disgustingly rich? because they gave them the, like, shop owners gave them or gave her the
lingerie
for free.
Yeah.
But so they're kind of just having these like very normal conversations, like, you know, is Amaranth still the second? Mm-hmm. And Reese goes, she's now High Fae. I'm sure she'll discover some hidden talent to terrorize us with.
Yeah.
And they decide she will be.
If she wants the job, obviously.
Yes. And then we do get, like, a little bit emotional talking about, like, the moment he died.
Mm-hmm.
And just how that kind of felt for both of them.
Yeah.
And how he had, like, lied to her. Mm-hmm. And it's not, like, a super intense conversation, but they are talking about it.
Yeah. And he kind of tells her, like, what he had heard when he lingered.
Yeah.
Basically, that he heard everything she was saying.
Which is sweet.
I know. And it's basically exactly what happened when she had died. It's like she hung on to that. Like, he made her linger and she made him linger. And that's how they were able to save each other.
Yeah.
So it was sweet.
It is sweet. But then, so she goes, when it's time to go there, we go together. And he goes, it's a bargain. And she says, yes, it is. And then she gets, like, a bargain tattoo. And I'm just like, that's the stupidest freaking bargain in the entire world.
Ugh, I was like, this is where it gets cheesy. I was like, no.
To me, this is not cute. No. I don't like this.
No, I don't like. I was like, because that means if one of you dies, the other dies, too.
Let's use our brains for a minute.
Yeah.
I was like, I understand the, like, I don't understand. I haven't lost a spouse. But, like, I can, like, acknowledge that there's an intense grief when you lose your other half. And especially with all of these, like, mating bond things, how much more worse it could be. But, like, could you survive?
Yes.
Could you carry on their... Like, there's so many of...
Especially, like, because you're both High Lord and Lady. So, it's like, you're going to leave your whole Night Court without anybody?
Anybody?
That's selfish.
Very selfish.
Nope. I didn't like this bargain either.
Yeah. I thought it was a dumb bargain.
But
anywho, but speaking of bargains,
Bryaxis, I love that. Bryaxis doesn't come back, which at first I was like, wait, I thought Bryaxis liked the library.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what?
He must have had a really great time on the battlefield and was like, let's explore.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. But I love the way Reese phrases this. He goes, sweet Bryaxis has vanished. Do you know what that means? And she goes, that I have to go hunt it down and put it back in the library. And he goes, oh, you most certainly do.
Yes. I know. I love that.
He got lucky the Weaver is dead and he doesn't have to try and deal with that. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And
then they go fly around Valaris together.
Just like the start of an adventure.
I love it. And she says, it is a gift. All of it.
Yeah. We just keep coming back to that, like.
I know.
Gift moment.
It is. It is a gift.
That's been, like, such a theme in the last, like, 100 pages, but, like, it's such an important thing to remember.
I know, and I just, it was a sweet ending.
It was a very sweet ending. Ugh.
And the book's over.
And it's over! That's the end of season 3!
Oh my gosh, people.
How did we do that?
I hope you enjoyed this as much as we did, because I thoroughly enjoyed this book so much more, I think, rereading it a second time.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Okay, but then here's the question. Mm-hmm. Mist and Fury versus Wings and Ruin.
Mist and Fury.
Still Mist. I'm 100%. Still Mist and Fury. I agree. I loved this book so much more this time around, but I just think it's always going to be Mist and Fury.
I think
for
so
me.
Too.
But still, 10 out of 10.
Yes.
This book was delightful.
Listeners, did your opinions change? Are you Mist and Fury? Are you Wings and Ruin?
Yeah.
Let us
I
know.
Feel like Mist and Fury, like, we quote that one so much and we reference certain moments in that so much just in like the
Akatar world
that it's like very top of mind for all of us.
Yeah.
So did this experience alter your opinion?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
But thank you so much for coming along for season 3.
Yeah. This is a lot of episodes you've listened to. This is a lot of time because Sarah and I talk a lot.
Yeah.
So like, thank you.
Yeah. And
so
just
much.
On what's the word? Operational notes?
Yeah, tactical.
Logistics.
Logistics.
That's the right word. Logistics. On a logistical note, so we're going to take
2 weeks off.
2 weeks off before we start Frost and Starlight. Just because Frost and Starlight's a shorter season, we're only going to be doing 5 episodes.
Yes.
Because it's a novella. So we're going to take 2 weeks off, do the 5 episodes, and then we're going to take 3 weeks off before we go into Silver Flames.
Yes. And then also just like, we do have a mini still coming out this week.
Yeah.
With no major spoilers, we're going to do top, like I said, we're going to do top 5 moments of this book. So I know some of you avoid the minis because of spoilers. This is one you can participate in with us. So feel free to listen. But after that, 2 weeks, and then we'll be back with the delightful Frost and Starlight novella.
Yes.
Anything else?
No.
All right. We'll talk more in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to A Court of Fairies and Fangirls, a Sarah J. Maas fan podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe, and let us know what you think.
You can find us on Instagram at Fairies and Fangirls. Jump in on the conversation, and we look forward to chatting with you more next week. Bye.
Bye.